This is Carte Blanche, the podcast. One story every day that matters. Delve into the issues that impact you. Whether you're in need of a better understanding of the world around you or simply seeking inspiration or unique perspectives, you'll find it all here.
Bring back the scorpions. No more parole, penal colonies in the Kalahari, and grand corruption will be declared a crime against humanity. Furthermore, the triple BEE model will be scrapped. But is a proposed replacement just BEE dressed up in a fancier name? Masa Kekana sits down with Action SA's Herman Mashaba to find out how the party hopes to achieve many of its lofty promises.
So I'm very excited to be talking to the former mayor of the city of Joburg, a successful entrepreneur. But more importantly, we are talking elections. He is the leader of Action SA. That is none other than Mr. Herman Mashaba himself. I know you must be exhausted because it is campaign season. You must be painting the country green. How are you doing, Mr. Mashaba?
It's actually quite obviously daunting task, but at the same time, quite enriching and fulfilling. I think I'll tell you, personally, if I wasn't doing this job, I would really be probably in a mental institution because developments in my country are actually quite worrying and getting worse by the day. But I'm really inspired by the work that I do and the reception that one is getting on the ground. That actually gives me the inspiration to soldier on, and I'm proud that I have a full support of my family and the full support by majority of South Africans that someone has got to do something. If it's not me, then who else? And I feel really privileged for South Africans to really give me an opportunity to be part of this project of saving our country.
Action SA presented your inaugural national manifesto. We know that you obviously contested the local elections and you got quite a bit of support. And now we all know as citizens who Action SA is. But this is going to be your first time contesting provincially and nationally, which is quite a big one as well. So it was in the run up to your manifesto launch, one of your senior leaders, Michael Beaumont, said it was quite deliberate that you waited till the letter end to launch your manifesto as Action SA. You quietly watched on the other political parties and watched to see what they had to offer. And I quote that you actually had said in your manifesto that yours is not a list of unattainable promises, but it's a pragmatic plan. So I guess with that being said, let's shoot straight into your manifesto, which you have called a pragmatic plan. First of all, I must let you know that your comments that came from that media event where you spoke about the age of retirement and people retiring when they did rather sleep then, I mean, that ruffled a lot of feathers. What did you mean by that, Mr. Mashaba? What are Action SA's policies when it comes to this? Also considering that South Africa is a country that has a lot of youth, and that youth, many of them, are at record highs of unemployment. And you're saying, hey, 60, 70, 80-year-olds, come back to the workforce. Why?
Well, I think if you look at our dismal failure as a country over the last 30 years to produce the type of skills that can run the economy, and at the same time, we want to really retire people at 60, 65, 70. I think, you know, for me, it is total madness. I think we need the skills of South Africans at whatever age, as long as health still allows them to work. I think we encourage them to really come back into the workforce so that we can train the youth who have really been failed by this current government with a 30% mark, where they've destroyed our education system, where we have 10-year-olds who cannot read for meaning. We've got 30% mark. We've ignored education relating to math and science. So you can imagine what our kind of society or economy will we ever build with a 30% mark. South Africans, please let us ensure that we can really bring all boots on the ground to ensure that we can rebuild this economy, give our youth an opportunity opportunity to be taught at schools by professional people who are really trained and committed to this country. Let's bring back engineers to rebuild our destroyed economy and infrastructure. You know, for those who wants to retire, look, we are not going to force people to really work if they want to retire. But I think majority of South Africans, like majority of people of the world, if you look at successful nations and economies, people just don't really go into retirement. I'm one of those human beings. Retirement for me does not exist in my vocabulary. I am going to work, not as a politician. Politics is not really for me. I'd really want to really go back into business and make money. But I can assure you, I am only going to retire the day when God decides to separate my body and soul.
That doesn't resolve our youth unemployment problem if we're going to bring more people into the market who have more experience, which is perhaps needed. But then we're also sitting with a graduate problem. So it's not that the skills aren't there. There are hundreds and hundreds of graduates who are sitting at home, unable to enter the job market. So with that being said, let's segue into what you're offering in terms of jobs. When it comes to jobs, you're promising 4.8 million jobs by 2029. How do you propose to do that?
The thing is, you know, Masa, people who are actually under impression that we are sitting with youth unemployment. South Africa is not only sitting with youth unemployment. South Africa is sitting with unemployment problem as a result of an economy that is not growing. So ask any of the people with economics background that take South Africa for 5 years growing at 5% annual growth. You can imagine now how you will bring down unemployment. But you're not going to grow this economy, firstly, if you don't really deal with the labor laws that are going to allow the private sector, particularly SMMEs, to employ people without having to worry about CCMA inspectors who are all coming from COSATU, making it difficult for small businesses to employ people. I can give an example of the plan I instituted when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg with the hijacked, abandoned derelict buildings, where we expropriated these buildings, offered them to the private sector. You know, that project, difficult as it was, but it ultimately, because of my determination, political determination, we managed to expropriate 154 buildings, offer them to the private sector with conditions of saying, tell us how much you're going to invest when we give you this property, how many permanent jobs you're going to employ, how many housing units you will create. Just that project alone over 3 years, that project was going to yield 32 billion rands of investment. That project was going to create 22,000 permanent jobs only during the construction period. This project was going to create 14,000 housing units just in the city of Johannesburg. And at the time,
where are you getting these figures from, Mr. Mashaba? Just to clarify there, these figures that you're also throwing out there, where do you get those from?
Oh, no, those figures, Masa, please ask the Speaker of the city of Johannesburg to give you those reports, because we're passed through council. I'm not really giving you a pie in the sky numbers. I'm giving you numbers of passed in council, approved by council of the city of Johannesburg, provided to us by the winning bidders, private sector bidders. Look at now the opportunity of industrial areas which used to operate pre-1994. Babelech industrial area, where I was born, millions of people being employed in those industries. Take, for instance, Harankua industrial area, where I started Black Like Me in 1985. Those industries, people of Harangua, people of Hammanskraal used to actually walk to work. If you look at those factories, 60 to 70% of those industries today are lying empty, vandalized. These factories are still relatively new by any standards. And these factories, bear in mind, they belong to us, people of South Africa. We have, as a country, over a trillion rands worth of factories that are lying empty, that can be utilized and be given to the private sector. Our economic desk actually did an exercise that just in the 5 years, if we go on an aggressive program where we offer these factories to the private sector with investments. This is the numbers where we're talking about 4.8 million jobs within the next 5 years. They were not just the thumb stuck. These are practical numbers that easily can really be achieved. But for you to achieve that, you need firstly come out with laws that are not going to discriminate South Africans against any other form. What to do, create a non-racial South Africa so that all of us are South Africans, deal with the issues of redress, where we are saying without any doubt, we need to come out with the redress, but our redress should not really pit South Africans against each other along racial lines.
And I really want to get us into that as well about what Action SA is proposing when it comes to triple BEE. But while we're still speaking about reclaiming these hijacked buildings, we've seen, for instance, in the inner city of Joburg, and you would know firsthand, having been the mayor, what a big problem that is. However, that is also accompanied with a problem of crime and corruption. So when officials and SAPS members go to these hijacked buildings, it's not as easy to reclaim them. And in your manifesto, when it comes to crime and corruption, you're calling for more boots on the ground. How do you feel, first of all, that more boots on the ground will help with crime? And secondly, how will you then be able to reclaim these hijacked buildings, which in many instances, there are lots of illegal activities going on, and it seems that the SAPS just is either too afraid to go in there or just doesn't have a grip on it?
You know, Master, so look, we're not talking about running this system under the corrupt, uncaring, unpatriotic ANC government. Here, you're talking about Action SA with a mandate, where we will immediately, if we're given the mandate or when we're given the mandate by South Africans, the Minister of Police must be a professional police. We need to really come out with specialized units in police to deal with hijacked buildings, to deal with murderers, to deal with corruption. We need, as a matter of agency, bring back the Scorpions, a Chapter 9 institutions with the teeth to really be able to prosecute criminal activity, corrupt politicians and corrupt business people, put them in jail for a long time. So it's not a question of thinking that this will be an ANC government where we are going to be friendly with criminal activity. Anyone committing crime under Action SA, I can tell you, will regret ever having committed crime, because we'll come out with laws where under Action SA, life in prison is going to be life in prison. 15 years in prison is going to be 15 years. No parole. Don't tell us about Ubuntu. If you want Ubuntu, then don't commit the crime. The thing is, people are under impression we will be soft with criminals like the current government. We don't want to really live side by side with criminals. And we want to really send a very strong signal to them that they must just really pray to their gods that Action SA does not really come into power. There's Chapter 9 institutions. We will give them total independence not to report to us politicians. They must actually report to Parliament. They must have the teeth to be able to prosecute without any fear or favor. We will confront this so-called human rights lawyers who are there to protect criminals instead of protecting law-abiding citizens. We will work with the human rights lawyers who are going to be there to make sure that there's no human trafficking. The drug cartels, we will deal harshly with them. We will not tolerate the situation where counterfeit expired goods, South Africa, it's a dumping place for such goods. So you murder someone in South Africa, can tell you the courts find you guilty and give you life, you're going to serve life. And one thing, as Action SA, we are unapologetic about this. All these heinous crimes, we are going to make sure that we don't provide the free accommodation, free meals. They will build their own prisons in the Kalahari where the land is fertile.
What do you mean, Mr. Mashaba? Are you saying that people who will be in prison, so prisoners going to serve a sentence, and they must now start building prisons?
Prisons, yes. They must build their own prisons, and they must work in the farms to produce food for themselves and for the nation to pay the price. We are not going to accept a situation where prisoners sit in prison, expect us to provide them accommodation, provide them free meals. That's not going to happen under Action SA. They will pay back to society for harming us and destroying our way of life.
Interesting. Before we even move on from the crime and corruption approach by Action SA, you're saying that grand corruption will be made a crime against humanity. What would that mean?
Absolutely. I think you steal public monies, which we need to build infrastructure, build schools, build clinics, build universities, and so forth. You steal public money. I can tell you we will really treat it as treason and call for punishment, minimum of 15 years in jail with no chance of parole. If you get sentenced to 15 years for stealing R1 million or R100 million of public monies, minimum sentence must be 15 years with no chance of ever getting parole.
Very harsh stance when it comes to crime, I see, Mr. Mashaba, there. But also when you're speaking about the prisoners having to build their own prisons as well, farming their own food, it sounds very similar to the penal colony.
Tell me, Masa, do you want to live in a society where you as a woman, every 11 minutes in this country, a woman is raped? And you expect us, we must be kind to a rapist, where every single day, 84, 86 people are being murdered. I don't want to live in a society like this. Masa, if some people wants to live in a society like this, then don't vote for Action SA, because under Action SA, we will not tolerate anyone who murders a South African or anybody who is in our country. Whether you're a South African or a foreigner, we want to protect you. We want you as a woman be able to walk the streets any time of the day without having to really worry that someone will either murder you or rape you. And if anyone has got sympathy towards criminals, or you support criminals, then don't vote for Action SA.
You don't think there's a middle ground at all in terms
No. We're very clear, Masa, on this particular matter. For us as Action SA, we are saying if you want to be given a second chance, opt for a first option, don't commit crime. Because if you commit crime, don't expect any second chance.
I think the possibility of a woman being able to just go for a jog at night is music to any woman's ear in this country. Moving to health, Mr. Mashaba, health is a very big problem in this country. If you do not have private medical aid, people shudder. And then we've got talks about a national health insurance. On principle, everybody understands why, but in reality, when we look at our public health care system, when we look at our public health governance as well, people shudder to think what will be the case. What is Action SA's proposition when it comes to health?
If you listen to our member of Team Fix South Africa, Dr. Khosi Letlape, who in the event Action SA would be given the mandate to be government, he'll be the Minister of Health. And he made it clear during our manifesto launch that given the opportunity to be the Minister of Health, the president of the country will go to Baragwanath Hospital or Kalafong Hospital. Will not us as government, as Action SA government, we will not really subsidize any member of our public office, including all the officials working for government. There won't be any subsidy for private medical aid. You want to belong to a medical aid, you will pay for it yourself. For us as Action SA, we commit as politicians that we will go to public hospitals. That's the only way where we believe it will be the quickest way of all of us to commit in ensuring that our public healthcare system functions. The reason why it's not working today, because this current communist government is subsidizing private healthcare at the expense of public healthcare. That's the reason why the system has collapsed. In fact, our politicians today don't even have a shame to go to Russia and Cuba and other places in the world to have medical aid. We commit as Action SA that from the president up to the lowest member working for government, you are not going to be subsidized to really go into private healthcare. But we will allow private healthcare to operate, and those who can afford, let them pay for it.
The economy, very, very big one. Now, you talk about an opportunity fund. Please talk to us about that. But also the hot potato, you talk about scrapping triple BEE. Earlier, we touched on redress. How do you propose then we do that?
Well, Massa, one of the piece of legislation that we will scrap and bury it in an unmarked grave is Triple B of 2003 and bring in our own policy called Inclusive Economic Empowerment to run for 30 years. And within this piece of legislation, we'll establish an opportunity fund where businesses are compelled to contribute 5% of their profits into this fund to be run by private individuals appointed by us as government and not report to us. They must report to Parliament on a yearly basis how much funds they've collected. And us as politicians, we will only give directive where this money must be spent. This money must be spent in black, colored and Indian communities, go and build up schools, go and fund black entrepreneurs wanting to open factories in Babelegi, in Harankwe, in Mohwasi, or run businesses in their communities. When I grew up, supermarkets, despite the fact that apartheid government made it difficult for us, big supermarkets, so butcheries and so forth, were run by the Maponyas, the Dubes and so forth. We would like to really fund them. Businesses will not really be run by strangers, people who we don't know who they are and how they came into our country. To run a business in our country, all businesses will be registered with the South African Revenue Services. You've got to show us and demonstrate to us how you firstly came into the country. How did you bring money into this country? We are not going to allow a situation where money is brought into the country through mattresses and sofas. Money must come through the Reserve Bank. If we ever come to find that you came into our country legally, you brought money through mattresses, I can tell you that we'll take you through the legal system and you'll be punished. And once you've served your term, we will send you back to your country. We want to ensure that black people who are poor today, black people are not poor because they want to remain poor. They are poor because they were discriminated against by the apartheid and other governments before. They were brutalized by the current government's unpatriotic, uncaring attitude. What we are saying, we want to give dignity to those communities, build them the best schools ever so that 25 years later, because this system will run for 30 years, in 30 years' time, there will be engineers, accountants, lawyers coming from Haramuti, where I was born, from Soweto. Every street will have accountants, engineers, and entrepreneurs, the policemen and women will have judges coming out of these communities. This fund will be used specifically on over a period of 30 years to ensure that we as South Africans can actually be proud of our communities.
Well, it sounds great, but wouldn't that create more red tape? I mean, in your manifesto itself, you also speak about foreign direct investment and, you know, relaxing labor laws and trying to make it simpler for direct investment into the country and from the country as well. Now, if you're creating this fund and where we're saying 5% of, and I'm assuming you're saying all big business profits would have to go there, there's a lot of admin that would be involved in that too. Do you not think that that red tape would scare off future investors?
No, fortunate enough, we've really done a study, consulted quite extensively. I'm sure you know I'm a big investor in this country, run businesses. So if you look at the cost of this Triple B Act of 2003, you know, the cost runs between 4% and 6%. And you have to regularly be accounted to people who have no interest whatsoever in your welfare. In our system, the response lies between the business and accounting firms. Accounting firms are the ones who are going to be responsible for ensuring that businesses pay the right taxes. Any business that tries to play games with us where you don't really pay the right taxes, this will be treated as criminal. It'll be a criminal act that will carry a prison term, including penalties towards that.
Would we say that this is, again, black economic empowerment, but just dressed in a different name.
Absolutely. But it's not Triple B, which at the moment only benefits politically to connect it and creates oligarchs. Here, it will be something that is going to actually touch ordinary South Africans. Every Black South African, Indian or colored who were previously disadvantaged. No Black child would really not be able to really go to school or university because they don't have the money. There will be the funds to ensure that they are taken care of.
Mr. Mashaba, earlier you were mentioning that, you know, growing up, the local supermarkets, the butcheries, the spaza shops, little tuck shops as well, in areas such as townships were owned by the Dubes, the Mabonyas, and things have changed. Action SA has been very vocal from its inception when it comes to the matter of illegal migration. Some might say that in your manifesto this time around, you've taken a much softer approach when it comes to the rhetoric that was shared before. In previous talks by Action SA, you're still saying you're taking a tough stance that while you want to make it easier to enter legally, you want to make it more difficult to do so illegally. What is Action SA's plans when it comes to migration?
Tell me, what have I changed from when I actually started getting South Africans to have this debate on the 1st of December 2016? Nothing has ever changed. What has changed is that I've managed to get South Africans to freely discuss this issue of undocumented individuals coming into our country illegally. This country was built at the back of migrants, and we as Action SA, we want to encourage people of the world. We'll have red carpet for them when they come into our country legally, and when they're here, they respect our laws. We don't stand on a fence, and that's something that I articulated when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg in our country, and we know about it and we're not doing anything about it. Where we see human trafficking, we're seeing illicit goods are being brought into our country. It has been my position then, and it's my position right now. Right now, we carry it through our policies as Action SA.
A big contentious issue for South Africans is that the basic income grant. Under Action SA, you're saying you want to eliminate this broad reliance on grants. Talk to me about that.
Us as Action SA, we feel that people who require assistance immediately must be assisted. What we are saying is actually we propose more than doubling this 350 that people are getting. We believe people must be assisted. And where will the money come from? I'm sure you are aware as Action SA, we will have a cabinet of maximum 20 cabinet ministers with no single deputy minister. So just that alone, you can imagine the saving. Now, look at the saving you will accrue from fighting corruption, where people know that you steal public monies, you're going to go to jail, you're going to go to jail for a long time. That's where the money would come from with immediate effect. But now also now relaxing this draconian labor laws, where you stimulate economic growth, where business entrepreneurs can really have the courage to employ people, knowing very well that in the event you business doesn't work out, you are not going to be forced by current labor legislation or make it difficult for you to fire someone. So we'll make it easy. So by so doing, you will reduce the number of people dependent on grants. For us as Action SA, we will more than double the number of grants that people actually get right now. But judge us on the number of people dependent on the government. Because in an economy that can grow by 5% or so, you know how many people you'll give dignity to where they don't have to rely on grants from government. People will go and work in factories run by entrepreneurs. People will have the dignity to wake up in the morning, end of the month, being able to really feed and support their families, build their own homes, and they have the dignity. That's what we want you to judge us on.
So ultimately, the approach would be then to get rid of this reliance and be self-reliant.
You can't just destroy it overnight. You destroy it by providing opportunities for people to really be able to go and earn more money and earn the skills, wake up in the morning, go to work and earn 3 to 4 times more in a job environment instead of having to sleep, wait, go and queue end of the month for government grants. While we're stimulating the economy, people will get employment because once you obviously you get to work, then you don't qualify any longer.
I can't let you go without talking about education. It's a big, big problem in this country. Studies showing that literacy levels are at an all-time low in our democracy as well. Now, as actionists say in your manifesto, you say you want to focus on early childhood development education because you've got goals by 2035. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think if Masa really look at what SATU, this union, what has done to our education system. Obviously, the Tripartite Alliance, this uncaring, unpatriotic, corrupt government, what they've done to our education. It's honestly one of the drivers that got me into politics because I just could not really stand by and watch a nation being deprived of an opportunity to get the right education because it is only through education that people can really be free of government and have the dignity of work and love themselves. What we are proposing as Action SA is that we'll have one Department of Education and the focus cannot only be at university level. We must start investing in ECD centers, make sure that there's entrepreneurs in the townships, villages who are running ECD centers, capacitate them. ECD centers must not really be a place where parents leave their kids while they are at work. It must be a place of learning so that by the time they start to go into formal school, they can already read for meaning. Once obviously they pass their matric, we must allow them, those who want to go to university to pursue an academic route, we allow them. But at the same time, let's invest in technical training colleges to train electricians, plumbers, teachers training colleges. You know, Baragwanath Hospital, my sister trained there in the 70s. The Baragwanath Hospital used to produce the best nurses in this country. That's why after 1994, when this communist government started ignoring them, they are now all over the world. Every hospital must be linked to a nursing training college. We must open up more agricultural training colleges and invest properly, and they must be run by professional South Africans really committed to the development of our country.
What you're talking about now, for instance, Chris Hani Baragwanath was and indeed the best hospital in the Southern Hemisphere at some point as well. But also what you've been accused of in some aspects, Mr. Mashaba, is that sometimes you romanticize pre-democracy. You romanticize the apartheid era. What would you say to that?
Well, I think these are people who wants to destroy this country, people who romanticize corruption. I don't romanticize corruption. I don't romanticize our women, every 11 men has been raped. I don't romanticize South Africans, 84, 86 of them being murdered each day. I don't romanticize that. I get really very angry. And when I say I lived in an environment where us as South Africans were safe, yes, we were discriminated against. No one can ever romanticize.
It was declared a crime against humanity.
Yes, it was, and that can never change. That's why we voted it out in 1994. But we cannot really tell me that Baragwanath Hospital, because it was built under apartheid and it was producing the best nurses, now today it is dysfunctional. So do I then have to then blame apartheid for it? Do you say I romanticize apartheid? I think you cannot divert my attention from actually confronting our current challenges. That does not really mean that I miss apartheid. I hate that apartheid. That's why some of us have sponsored people we thought they were committed to social justice. In the meantime, we were sponsoring people who are here today destroying our communities.
The last hot potato of one of our many in this country is, of course, load shedding. Load shedding has affected people personally, professionally, the economy at large. It is a huge problem, and now it's become a norm, a daily norm for most South Africans. The ANC and its members of parliament seem to be a little bit tone deaf when it comes to this as well. When I think back to the State of the Nation address and Member of Parliament Sylvia Lucas saying that it's not the end of the world, when it actually is, it's closed business doors. Under Action SA, what do you propose for ending these power cuts?
Well, what you do, put in professional people to run Eskom. Secondly, ensure that you invite the private sector investment to compete with Eskom. Deal with decisively with all people involved in the destruction of the Eskom through the corrupt activities. Allow localized energy generation throughout the country, South Africa, with the sun that we have. And if Eskom cannot compete with the private sector, government is not going to bail them out forever. If private sector can produce energy at a cheaper price than Eskom, if Eskom must die a natural death, then let it be the case.
Well, you've been very clear and concise on what Action SA has to offer. Before I let you go, let's fast forward to the 29th of May. People have voted. A couple of days later, we know who our government is. In the case that it is Action SA, what's the first thing you're going to do?
In the history of our democratic country, in fact, in the history of this country, where I've already presented what I call Team Fix South Africa. This is actually the cabinet. In the event South Africans do decide that Action SA is the government, I've already announced it is just to formalize people who are going to run government with me, and we'll give them 100 days, each department, maximum of 20 ministers, no deputy ministers. And in 100 days, we'll then come out with a plan. And what I commit to South Africans is that this cabinet, including the president, we will account to South Africans every quarter. We will give ourselves half a day, call the media, all media houses, where each minister must actually report on the promises that he made in the 100 days. Obviously, firstly, we will officialize this cabinet that I've already announced. Then there will be official cabinet. And in 100 days, all of us will then have to come out with the plans, present them to South Africa.
I'm a little disappointed you're not going to toast and celebrate. It sounds like you are going to hit the ground running. That is actually more encouraging to know, though. That reduced cabinet, I think a lot of South Africans would welcome too. Mr. Mashaba, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Thank you for sharing with us what Action SA has to offer.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Be sure to follow Carte Blanche, the podcast, to ensure you don't miss any of our election coverage in the weeks to come. And if you have a story to share with our team, why not head on over to the Carte Blanche website and let us know using the Tip Us Off page.